The Desert Island Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
Welcome to Desert Island Discs. Every single Sunday, 7 to 8, we profile and talk success. I'm Flavia Tumusime, and in case you've missed any of the shows in the past, we're on podcasts as Capital FM Uganda. Well, my guest today entered politics more for the service, but also more for family. That story we get to know. He is the former Tororo legislator and is currently the board chairman of Kilembe Mines, an entrepreneur. In fact, I'm not quite sure. Do you prefer to be known as a businessman or a politician?
I've always been a businessman.
Yeah.
The politics came as a tool of giving back to society, giving back to community, interacting with the community and understanding the community will work in better.
Okay. We want to start your story somewhere. We would like to go back to your childhood. Any memory, any place you want us to start? Go ahead.
Yeah, I belong to one of those families that never left Uganda even during Amin's regime.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there was the exodus where most people of Indian origin and foreigners had to leave Uganda. But we lived for most part of my life just down the road from this studio, not very far from here. And Kamocha is a suburb where I grew. And
was Kamocha any different then?
Yeah, very, very different.
Okay.
Very, very different, of course. And the times were different.
Mm.
There was no water available in the taps. There was no power. There was no access to medicine. I mean, even getting a Panadol was a problem.
Mm.
Roadblocks would pop up anytime. Yeah. We had a major of the Uganda army living across our house.
Mm.
So they used to close the road, disturb people, you know, from school many a times, you know. There would be gunshots at any time of the day.
Okay.
And then they would come and pick us up and say, you know, things are bad.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to go to school for maybe the next 2-3 days.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, we've been through all those ups and downs.
And it's a large family or
It was a very small family then.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, it was. So I'm trying to see, are you first or
no, I
middle?
Was the middle born. I had an elder brother who passed on.
Oh, bless.
And then a younger brother who passed on. So we were
three
brothers, mother and father,
that
lived there. And we went to school down the road at Kitante Primary.
Oh, so that's why your Kitante story.
Yes.
So it was walk to school and walk
exactly,
back home.
Exactly.
Oh,
and
wow.
Pass through Uganda Museum every single day.
But why?
That was the shortcut going to school.
Ah, yeah, okay. I thought just to visit and look around.
No. And of course, sometimes in the afternoon when you have a day off or it's a sports day,
you
go and spend
out.
Some time in the museum.
I understand today that if you look at someone of Asian or Indian origin, it's normal. Everybody, you know, we've got too many people around who look like something else in Uganda. And
yes,
nobody gives a second look.
Yes.
Were you in a community in an area in Kamocha where it was more of you?
I was the only one of Indian origin in the entire Kitante Primary School.
Whoa.
From P1 to P7. And it was normal for people to come and
the
touch.
Only one?
The only one. There was another half-caste boy that joined a little bit later. And they used to come and touch my hair.
No.
Yes. So it was normal at that time for me to feel different or to be made to feel different.
Were you, so you as a child, you're saying, okay, as much as I was, you know, somebody people wanted to touch because I was different or look at, it must have been different for your parents because were they having or in a community which was just like them?
No. But of course, all our neighbors were indigenous Ugandans, but we lived well. So, like I said, accessing essential commodities was a crisis.
It's hard, yeah.
So we had the post office flats right across the road. We had police officers on all sides. Yeah. Sometimes when somebody gets matoke, he will come and share. If we get potatoes, you share. So whatever little you had, it was a community. And, you know, during my political sojourn, I kept on telling people that as kids, we grew up as children of the
raised
community.
Raised by the community, yeah.
So when we went to play at the neighbor's home, maybe you're playing kwepe now, you go and play football with a banana fiber ball, and you get dirty, then the neighbor's mom can come and cane you. It was not...
No questions.
No
asked.
Questions. And there's no way you can go and tell...
And
your
reports.
Parents that I was caned, they would actually cane you more.
That's true.
But nowadays, you go and touch the
someone's
neighbor's
child,
then they take you to police.
Yes.
And I think that is a breakdown in the moral fiber of society we are facing today.
Wow. You keep saying, I'm Ugandan.
Absolutely. There's no two choices about that.
Yes. But being raised in a place where, I keep thinking Uganda, we're very hospitable, we're very accommodative.
Absolutely. That is not a topic anybody can debate, because over time I've traveled far and wide, and I can tell you, even people with a similar skin color can be very, very hostile. I have met Jamaicans, I've met, Sri Lankans, I've met different types of people, white, black, brown. And I can tell you that, sometimes they can make you feel really, really bad.
Mm.
So Uganda is really, really hospitable. And that's why you see a lot of expatriates who come to work here do not want to go back to their country.
Or when the contract ends, they say, I'll stay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm thinking as a parent that it's important, how they teach us to remind our children of their roots, to find a way, whether it's in language or it's in different traditions, to remind them of where they come from and who they are. Did that happen for you at home?
Yes. My parents were extremely sensitive, especially with religion.
Oh.
So we were brought up as devout Hindus because you go to school and you're taught to pray a Christian prayer before lunch. We were taught the Lord's Prayer. You're taught the Bible as
and God.
CRE.
Yes.
And therefore, it was always a clash when you get back home and you're taught
something
the
different.
Hindu scriptures.
Yeah.
So, it was a challenge as a child.
Mm.
But eventually, that turned out to be a blessing for me.
Oh.
Because when I went for campaigns and I went to church, it was
normal.
You knew,
what to do. Yeah.
So, it really helped. Okay. It really helped.
That's great. What's your first song choice?
I would want to start by This World Is Not My Home by Jim Reeves.
Jim Reeves.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that something you played a lot?
Yes, at home, especially on Sundays.
Mm.
Like I said, at that time there was not much power. So my dad had a radio where you had to go and wind. So you wind the dynamo and the radio recharges itself.
Right.
Those were one of the songs that was fairly popular that used to play at home, at the neighbors' homes. That was the kind of music
and
was
also it's on repeat
thing.
So you kind of hear it over and over again.
Yes.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I have a loving mother just over in glory land, and I don't expect to stop until I shake her hand. She's waiting now for me in heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just over in glory land we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drip back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Desert Island Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
It's Desert Island Discs. I have, as he has explained, Honorable is a title that we would have to give him based on how we have, experienced his work or service. Sanjay Tanna. But he identifies more as a businessman. So we'll take that. I like the way you sort of described it, as much as there was turmoil, there was a bit of security surrounding you. How do you then maneuver from, what's the next stage? You're at Kitante Primary.
Yes.
For the entire primary, actually.
Yes, P1 to P7.
P1 to P7.
Yes.
Have you visited the school again?
Yes. Yes.
Anything changed?
Quite a bit. But as old boys and girls, we've been going regularly.
Yeah.
Trying to support. Mm. Even when we had some people grabbing land some time back, we went and helped.
Right.
A lot has changed. Mm. But the structures are still the same. Very, very imposing structures. The only school even today with louvers for windows. And it's very, very nostalgic when you go there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where did you go after that?
Macquarie College School.
Mm.
Yeah. Actually, when we did the P7 exams, the current government, who were rebels then, were advancing onto Kampala.
Uh-huh.
So initially we were not even sure whether we would do our exams, we did the exams. Mm. But the war was raging and they were closing into the capital. Mm. So when they took over in January in Kampala, we were actually in Tororo because my parents also lived in Tororo.
Ah, okay.
And we had gone for vacation.
Was that your village? When the Eskimo is your village, you say Tororo.
Absolutely. Here, Kampala was 26th, but they entered Tororo on 29th. Schools were off. We didn't know if we were going to go to schools.
Of course, yeah.
We had filled in our choices and something was going to happen.
Yes.
So we were not sure. And so we were that first class that actually started school in March. So our first term was March to March. So the year changed from March to March, which eventually they took back after a few years.
But how is that? Is that the silence as you go to school? How is the country at that point? Because you're starting your school, which is exciting, but then also the times.
The times were bad because I remember we had to go and line up for milk at certain designated points.
Mm-hmm.
The LCs used to give out sugar, posho, powdered milk.
Yeah, I think one of my guests, Nyombi Tembo, explained that he was part of those people who used to ration out supplies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when you look at those times, there was no power. Mm. And, now a lot of kids listen to music digitally. There is data. If you don't have internet, then there is a crisis. But at that time, for us, power was a crisis. Getting clean water in the taps was a crisis. Getting basic medication was a crisis. So that first term at school was basically reporting without any grub.
Just show up.
Yeah, you just... books were a crisis. Pencils, you couldn't go to a shop and buy a pencil. So if you got a pencil, then you'd have to break it into half between me and my brother.
Oh, wow.
And if you got an exercise book, then you had to share. We were one of those, in inverted commas, a privileged family.
And yet this is what you're describing.
And yet this is what was going through. Wow. So you imagine that those were that were less privileged.
It was worse. Wow, wow, wow.
Of course, fuel was a problem. My dad used to run fuel stations.
Okay.
Cooking gas, you get once or twice a year. And if you have, then you must store it and use it sparingly.
And so, I can imagine there are people who never even experienced that.
Exactly.
Cooking gas,
so when you look at where we are coming from, I think there's been a lot of transformation.
Yeah.
Just the other day, I was with a guest of mine and I was telling him that, we used to walk on Mawanda Road.
Mm.
And Mawanda Road was Maram until late 90s. So we used to go and fetch water at Kaleri. There is a spring well there.
Mm.
When you envisage then and today, I think we've moved quite a bit, yes.
When I was in school, or when even probably this generation is what we should judge, when they're in school, they have so many ambitions, they think of so many great things, because the only thing that could happen or could go wrong is them not maybe passing their exams or not getting the choices they want. They're not thinking about security and a lack of water. And at the same time, were you able to still be ambitious and have dreams and at that age?
Oh yes. And you know, this is something that I discuss with my kids, and I tell them that, you see, it's basically the same.
Mm.
The human thought process is the same.
The mind, yeah.
Even today, the youth aspire to be like the artists in the US, yeah. Europe, wherever, Asia, wherever. We did the same. I mean, we had the American artists. We would not watch them on YouTube.
Yeah.
But we would, you know, either go to the theater where, you know, they would get the VHS cassettes and play. Or, you know, if somebody has a TV and a video, once in a while, you beg, you go and see. Eventually, my parents bought one. So we used to host quite a number of my friends over the weekend. And yeah. We would just get the VHS cassette and play and, you know.
See the world, yes. The rest of the world.
There was also TV. TV used to start at 4 p.m. and shut down at 9 p.m. So after 9 o'clock news, 9:30,
you're done.
UTV shuts down.
Mm.
And you had to get the TV from UTV. You couldn't buy a TV from anywhere else. Those were the times. It was black and white TV. Yes.
Yeah.
So it's, and of course on radio,
mm-hmm.
the only music, I mean, today we have Capital FM and maybe another 300 FM stations. Mm. But at that time, it was only Radio Uganda. And that's the only source of music you
take
had.
What you're given.
Absolutely. There was ambition. There was the desire to go to that outside world.
Mm.
As kids, when the insecurity became so much,
yeah.
we were shipped off to Kenya or to Tanzania where we had family. You know, that was the first time you actually taste chocolate or you taste ice cream.
Whoa.
And then you realize, and those are the things you aspire for, that you know you want to go and live in such a country.
Mm-hmm. And academics, were you very good with?
Academics, I was leaning toward sciences. So we had quite a bit of challenge, especially when it came to the chemistry laboratory.
The practicals.
The practicals. You know, the test tubes are not there. The stipula is not there. The pipettes and the, you know, the titration.
So when we used to complain we have less, you guys didn't really have much.
We had only one. The guy, the teacher teaching you is showing you and you are seeing.
That's it. Okay, we can't complain. Some of us had station in front of each child.
Yeah, you know, they teach you cockroach and dissecting a cockroach, and they are doing it on the blackboard. That's about it. If you are lucky and the teacher is brilliant enough, he may bring one cockroach and then all of you...
use the specimen.
You know, yeah, you surround him to see what he's doing when he's dissecting.
Wow.
Sometimes you may feel that maybe you're in a school that is not too good and the others are good.
And did Makerere College today is revered, so...
Today, yes, even then, it was one of the best.
Okay.
And the advantage we had is that we had professors from Makerere who used to come and share knowledge.
Mm.
So that's why Makerere College
was
good. One of the
and
good
you did
ones.
Makerere College for your...
Yes, all the 6 years.
You were a disciplined child. One school for each level.
I will not say that. I will leave that for my teachers and for another day.
And the parents.
Yes.
You were leaning more to sciences. So your preference is to go to university. You wanted to study what?
I wanted to be an architect. I always loved design and structure.
Interesting.
And... putting up buildings and yeah. So I like creating things that are
right.
nice.
Right, yeah. And you ended up with that?
No.
What changed?
Money.
So these small things called peppers.
Yes.
Eh? Money.
Yes.
Oh, what's your second song choice before we get into that?
You're My Friend by Don Williams.
Don Williams,
Yeah, because that is another old one that was quite popular in the neighborhood then.
Right.
Yes.
You placed gold on my finger. You brought love like I've never known. You gave life to our children and to me a reason to go on. You're my bread when I'm hungry. You're my shelter from troubled winds. You're my anchor in life's ocean. But most of all, you're my best friend. When I need hope and inspiration, you're always strong when I'm tired and weak. I could search this whole world over, you'd still be everything that I need. You're my bread when I'm hungry, you're my shelter from troubled winds, you're my anchor in life's ocean, but most of all, you're my best friend. You're my bread when I'm hungry, you're my shelter from troubled winds, you're my anchor in life's ocean, but most of all, you're my best friend.
Desert Island Discs on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
It's Desert Island Discs. Don Williams, you're my friend, was the second choice. Sanjay Tana, you went to Makerere College. I was told that that school was quite affiliated with sports.
Yes.
But you didn't do any sport?
No, I did. We were actually, at that time, there was school cricket. And school cricket week was one of those that we looked forward to.
Okay.
So football, cricket. But then I was not a very strong person when it came to field activities.
Right.
So I couldn't sustain or qualify into those, except cricket. I was stronger indoor. Mm. So badminton, chess, and went ahead to play at national level on both games. Then, yeah, those were games that I thought molded me more into what I am today.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because especially with the chess, it's more focus-centered.
Yes.
You have to think.
Yes.
So you said you wanted to be an architect, you loved design, but then you didn't end up there. Where did you end up?
Finance. I went more into economics and finance. And at A-level, I did physics, economics, and maths. And that's when the mathematics and the economics took me more than the
physics.
Than the physics. And
right.
I then went more into figures, statistics. So I'm more of a statistics person,
right?
More of an economics person, and that's my forte.
Yeah. So it was second or third choice-ish, but you went with it.
Yes.
Yeah. And Makerere, your life at university. Oh, you went to Makerere.
I did, but partly, because then my brother passed away and I had to take over the family business in 1993.
This is Tororo or?
Yeah, Tororo.
Right.
Went and took over the family business and started.
What was the family business at the time?
It was a small duka that used to sell a lot of luxurious items then. So it was the usual trading shop.
This is a choice for you to go back home?
You know, my brother passed on and then my uncle from the UK came and said, I had an admission into the London School of Economics. And then he asked me, what do you want to do? What's your vision? So I said, my vision is to make a lot of money.
Okay.
And be rich. And get out of this small town and live in a city. So he said, how do you expect to get there? And I said, do business.
Okay.
He said, you want to go to school to read economics and then do business and then make money.
A lot of money.
Yes. So I said, yes. And he said, but you're making money now.
Were you already sort of helping out?
Yes,
in the
I
business?
Was already helping out.
Okay.
So he said, you're making money now and you have the machine for making money. The shop is already making money.
Yeah.
Why do you want to delay the making
You're going
the
through
money?
The cycle just
exactly.
to come back and make
exactly.
money.
Exactly. So he said, you need to start doing this now.
Mm.
At the back of my mind, I said, okay, I'll give myself 1 year.
Okay.
I wrote to Makerere and said, give me a dead year. Mm-hmm. We had hoped that within 1 year I would have made some money and gone back to uni. But I got so stuck in it.
The money.
Yes.
Sort of surpassed going back to school.
Yes. Yes. I never managed to get out of the rat race.
Really? But is there something, and I asked Dr. Chirag recently, who was a guest here, and I said, is there something that they put in your tea or your water when you're growing up that you just, Indians have a knack for business. They just have a thing, a skill for business.
I think it's not about Indians. It is about every human being.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line in my case, like in many other cases, I mean, you can look at any billionaire in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Bill Gates or, you know, anyone you look at, you know, Richard Branson, any of them, they will, their stories all tell us that it was necessity that drove them into doing what they did.
Yeah.
And then it is the characteristics and the qualities with which you do what you're doing that then leads you down the path. So the choices are yours.
Mm.
If you are dishonest, if you are lazy, if you cheat, if you want
something to happen quickly as
quickly, etc. Yeah. Then it's a pure recipe for failure.
Mm.
But if there is dedication, there is hard work, there is honesty, there is integrity, you know, you're giving your customers what you're telling them you're going to give them. That's a recipe for growth. Right. It's only a matter of time before you succeed.
Yes.
So I think it's that how you are brought up.
Mm.
So I believe it's not about the only difference between other ethnic groups and the Indians is that the Indians allow their children into the business at an early age.
Yeah.
So you grow into it. You make your mistakes while your parents, your mentors, your guardians are there
showing you,
to correct you.
Right.
And rather than, you know, sending you to London School of Economics, bringing you back at 25.
Just to now take over the business.
To now take over something with which you've been taught concepts and theory, whereas the reality calls for something very different.
Yes, you don't know why your dad made certain choices at a certain point.
Absolutely.
The supply. Oh, that's true. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, that difference is very clear. And so you did sort of break with school and decided to just stay in the business. Did you grow it to beyond what you found it?
Yeah, with God's grace, we've managed to grow. We've grown quite exponentially.
So that particular business still stands till today, even if it's in a different form?
No.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, in a different form,
yes.
But no longer a retail outlet. We went into distribution, wholesale.
Yeah.
And but it's the core foundation is that small shop.
So you never went back to school?
I did.
Oh,
I did much later.
Because I'm like, their politics would not have politicked without.
Yeah, that's how I went for law. I went for my law diploma in law. But that was much, much later.
Much later.
Yes.
Business, even if you said my ambition was to, you know, my dream was to make money,
which
I think a lot of people, that's it. They say something else, but what they really mean at the bottom is I want to make money. They just don't know how to say that outright, you know. When you got into business, did you get a few surprises? Because at university, at that age, you're excitable, a lot of things. You could easily make a couple of mistakes, you know.
No, mistakes were made, but like I told you, the advantage I had was a very strong father who was grounded, who had experience. He was hurt because he had just lost his elder son.
Mm. So he was still in the business.
Yes, yes, yes. And he handheld me and my younger brother into the path of success where we are. Yeah.
Because I assumed it was just you running things. Now it's a bit clear.
No. All credit goes to the old man.
Tororo.
Yes.
For somebody who, let's say even today, has never been there, you have perspective of what it used to be, probably what it has grown into. You've had part because of your service to make it also what it is today. How would you describe Tororo for us?
It's one of the most beautiful towns in Uganda because I've also had the privilege of traveling Uganda far and wide.
Mm-hmm.
It's built around a rock. There is a plug right in the middle of town. Mm-hmm. And socially, a lot of people climb it for fun. A lot of people fail to climb it. But Tororo City, your town, is built around that. Mm. But we're also only 10 minutes away from the border to Kenya. So it's a border town that is characterized by business across the border. So you have a lot of truckers, you have a lot of cross-border trade, and then you also have a lot of agricultural produce being processed and collected in Tororo. We also have huge limestone deposits. So today we have about 5 cement factories in Tororo. 3 are owned by Tororo Cement, and then the rest are Hima and Simba Cement. We also have a new investment coming in to do phosphates by the Chinese. And we hope that once that project takes off, then we will have enough fertilizer to serve the rest of Africa for about 100 years.
Yeah.
So it's a huge, huge deposit. Tororo is also a junction, a railway junction, for the Northern Line and the line that comes down to Kampala. In the olden days, if you came from Mombasa or you came from Nairobi, then you would have to stop over. It was like a Dubai transit point in the airline language, where you now switch to the next train if you're going to Gulu, or if you're going to Kampala or Kasese, you continue with this one. So it grew as a in terms of hospitality as well. So there was Rock Hotel and quite a number of other. So yeah, a trading town, an industrial town, a hospitality town. And because privatization of education first came to Uganda before Kenya. Kenya was more government-aided schools. Tororo also had quite a number of private education institutions. Yeah. That then the Kenyans came to. So we became fairly big in terms of education as well. So I think we've done well.
How do you, even if you're running a business, what did you do over time to become, in Luganda they would say, muntu wabantu, you know where you're sort of one? Because at this time you were telling me that, you know, you can't sort of enter Tororo and not talk to me. It would be very difficult. So how do you get to that point? How do you even capture people? And, and especially with trading, you realize people are coming in and out.
Yeah. You know, like I told you, we transformed the business into a distribution business.
Yeah.
The family, again, my parents, grew up with the community. So it is very, very normal even to date for my mom to go to the hospital, give bananas to the sick, give milk to the babies, go to orphanages, you know, help the poor, help the sick. You know, somebody walks into the shop and says, you know, they've bought a radio, somebody's come from the village, but he cannot afford 500 shillings to buy a pair of cells.
Yeah.
But somebody has bought the radio and really wants to listen to the radio. So you'll see my dad giving away a pair of cells, and that helped me to engage with the community.
True.
Because the moment they realized that I was my dad's son and my mom's son, so they said, oh, that lady, that guy, and then the rest was... easy.
Of course. When did you get into, because I don't really want to call it politics, I'd like to call it service, because clearly you built the businessman profile first. When did it knock on the door to say, let me just...
My younger brother comes home one good evening and then says, I want to be an MP, and I oppose. My dad is quiet, and I say, we've always been trained to be businessmen and not meddle in politics. So let's focus on the business. The business is growing well.
Politics at that point?
No politics. But, you know, this thing of talking to young boys in the community. We came up with this thing of youth MP.
Okay.
Certainly at a certain point, they started these campaigns and moving to Busoga and moving to Sebei, where we had businesses.
Okay.
We had business tentacles in most of the districts in eastern Uganda. And we were spreading fast. So there was, of course, employment opportunities that were given to the young people, and training them and imparting business knowledge and money knowledge, accounting knowledge. And so it was easy for us to connect in the East, like it still is. But politics can be funny. You also have people who will come and lie to you and take away one or two things from you. and go and sell the information to somebody else. And so eventually I was sucked into that politics.
Of one time your brother saying he wants to become an MP. Not yes, you. Yes. He's the one who wants to become an MP. And you objected.
He eventually became the youth member of parliament for Eastern Uganda.
Mm.
But then passed on a few months on into his term on a road accident in Busitema. Then that thing remained in me. I said, we've promised people that we will do A, B, C, D, and it's not yet done. So, but I couldn't go and stand for youth because I was already
above. You
passed
the youth.
Yes.
What's your other song choice before we get into the story?
Fast Car by Tracy Chapman.
Yeah.
You get a fast car. I want a ticket to anywhere. Maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere. Any place is better. Starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove. You got a fast car. I got a plan to get us out of here. Been working at the convenience store. Managed to save just a little bit of money. Won't have to drive too far. Just cross the border and into the city. You and I can both get jobs and finally see what it means to be living. See, my old man's got a problem. Yeah, but the bottle, that's the way it is. He says body's too old for working. Body's too young to look like his. My mama went off and left him. She wanted more from life than he could give. I said, somebody's got to take care of him. So I quit school and that's what I did. You got a fast car. Is it fast enough so we can fly away? We gotta make a decision. Leave tonight or live and die this way. So I remember when we were driving in your car. Speed so fast, it felt like I was drunk. City lights day out before us, and your arm felt nice, wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone. We got a fast car. We go cruise and entertain ourselves. Still ain't got a job. Now work in the market as a checkout girl. I know things will get better. You'll find work and I'll get promoted. We'll move out of the shelter, buy a bigger house and live in the suburbs.
Desert Island Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
It's Desert Island. This is Tracy Chapman. It's Fast Car. Of course, you can sort of tell you're still in the eras, you know?
Yeah.
Bringing the music down. So your younger brother had come to you and said, or to the family, expressed interest in politics. You had said no.
Yes.
Because you didn't really, you thought we're successful at business, why involve ourselves in politics? But then he went ahead and actually did it. But unfortunately passed on a few months later. And you thought as a family, you know, we're now involved. We've promised many things and we must do it. Where do you start from at that point? Because you clearly you said you were not youth, so you couldn't now.
So we get into politics, Tororo Municipality, because that was our base.
Yes.
So I could have gone to Mbale, I could have gone to any other part in Eastern Uganda.
There, yeah.
But because Tororo was home, that's where we grew up, literally. So we said, okay, let's go for the municipality.
Here. Yeah.
And the rest is history.
Mm.
Jay was the first person of Indian origin, post-exodus, to make it to parliament.
Yeah.
And I then became the first person in Uganda's history to win an election. Person of Indian origin.
Mm.
To win an adult suffrage election.
Yes, yeah.
Because all those that were there before me of Indian origin, including the first speaker, were nominated. Jay was through Electoral College.
Yeah.
I thought one term was enough, but then people said that it was a fluke and I used money and I used this. So I went back.
And the second time round was to prove what?
That it was a popular vote. So we won even with a better margin.
Ah.
Yeah.
And what surprises you? Because it's one thing to run business, which is business is not easy. It's gruesome. It's tough. Good days, bad days. And then there's anticipating that politics might just be service and whatever. When you get in there, what surprises you first?
The way government runs is ideally the way a corporate business runs. Budgets are made, targets are given. But what surprised me most is how people deviate from the set targets, agreed budgets, and do totally different things and fail to deliver and can still be fine and everyone is happy about it.
Nothing is done.
And and the original concept as a young man going to parliament and all the promises you've made people, you think you're going to change lives, you're going to change how people are, you want, you know, your roads to be like Singapore, you want your ability to collect taxes, your ability to transform lives, you know, help poor women who cannot give birth properly and, you know, improve healthcare, access to finance. And, you know, I went with all these ideas it was a huge, huge shock.
Wow.
When after about 3, 4, 5 years, you realize that you can't change much. Ooh. Yes.
And is it true that, because I've spoken to a couple of politicians on the show, and they always say, you know what's funny? We actually use our own money. You end up losing money than making money.
That is very true. Because, you see, you've made promises, and the people trusted you.
Yeah.
So you end up repairing roads, you end up repairing bridges, you end up repairing churches and mosques, school fees, sick people. I mean, you're going to get a woman who is pregnant and she says that I am past my 9 months, but I don't have money to go for an operation.
Mm.
So what's the sane thing to do? To save life.
Yeah.
So you get money, whether it's yours, whether it is the money you got from parliament, you just give it to her and save life. So, you know, You get somebody and he comes to you and he says, I've been having these medicines, I don't have run out of money, and please help. So you pay. Somebody will come, I'm in S4, I've failed to pay registration fee. So you find that most MPs end up getting out of parliament poorer than when they went there.
Wow.
Because of the social systems that are in place where people feel that you are obliged just to sort their issues out.
Does politics, it changes you definitely, but does it change your family? Because apart from your brother who had now just actually literally entered politics, you had thrust the entire family into that limelight.
Yes, and the biggest problem is that, you know, my father just passed on, my brother had passed on, so I was like the only male adult in the family with all the ladies and very, very young kids. So there was that fear, there was that anxiety. But when you serve the community, it gives you that satisfaction that you've been able to touch lives.
Right.
And that's the gratitude. Does the family suffer? Yes, because you spend less time
at
with
home.
The wife, you spend less time with the kids, you spend less time with the parents, and therefore You the distance grows. There's so one has to be extremely careful to dedicate time. Maybe once every few months you take a break for a few weeks, or you do it, you know, 2 days a week. So you have to choose a rhythm where you have to spend time with the family.
It was your choice to go with the ruling party.
I was an independent. I was elected as an independent.
Oh, okay.
But yes, I supported the ruling party.
Yes.
Yes.
The independent would have been the smart way to go.
Yes.
Because then even as a businessman or going back to Tororo, you would not have one sort of leaning that would have gotten you in trouble.
Yes.
But I would assume that siding with the ruling party would make the work a bit easier.
Yes. Yes. And that's the reason. Because when you have an MOU with the ruling party, then you see most of these things are done in the corridors. When they are allocating money for hospitals, making sure that the Tororo Hospital is on the list.
Yeah.
When they are allocating ambulances, you make sure Tororo Hospital is on the list.
Right.
When they are doing roads, you make sure that, you know, a particular section of the road is on the list.
Mm.
And all this is lobbying that takes place. It is not done on the floor of parliament, but it's done outside.
Mm.
And you can only do it if you're part of them.
Exactly.
You're not by fighting them.
With them.
Yes. At one time, there were about 12 professors. Professor Nsibambi the late, Professor Gilbert Kenya, Professor Latigo. So all these learned people were extremely welcoming and, you know, holding our hands and grooming us and teaching us procedure, you know, parliamentary etiquette, parliamentary behavior, parliamentary language, and also, like I said, how to lobby and get things done.
If you go through this route, you'll
you see somebody quarreling on the floor of parliament, his opposition. But then you find them the next hour having tea together in the parliamentary canteen. And you ask yourself, but this man was here blasting this gay. Then you realize that no, this, what you do on the floor,
is different.
Is different. What you're doing here is to serve your people better.
Aye. Politics indeed. What's your next song choice?
Liberian Girl
by
Michael Jackson.
Yeah, because I thought you were going to give us the song that you were talking to me about your campaigns, but we'll get to it, I think, at some point.
Yes.
Liberian Girl, the late Michael Jackson.
Liberian girl, you came and you changed my world. A love so brand new. Liberian girl, you came and you changed me, girl. Feeling so true, Liberian girl. You know that you came and you changed my world, just like in the movies. Two lovers in a scene, and she says, "Do you love me?" And he says, "So will it leak? I love you, Liberian girl." Look up in the pier.
FM, fresh hits for Uganda.
It's Desert Island Discs, and it's been, I think, a good lesson for us to understand politicians in any form, really. Liberian Girl is probably one of my favorite Michael Jackson songs, because when he passed, I think I played that about 5 times. And it's because the more popular songs, yes, are popular, but there was just something about this piece of work that was just great, great work. I don't know, is that voluntary leaving of politics?
Not really.
How do we describe this one?
It was involuntary. It was...
You could have kept going.
Yeah, I could have kept going. But yeah, whatever happened, I believe happened for the better, and I'm a believer of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that over a period of time,
mm.
having been out,
yeah.
having been in at the center, at the apex, and now out again,
mm.
gives you different perspectives and ability to even deliver better. Two things. One is that I've kept in touch with the people. Nothing stops me from delivering and supporting the people that I've been mm-hmm. working with. Only that now we work in the entire East because the businesses are spread in the entire yeah. East. And the businesses have also grown. The number of people we employ is growing. And the number of lives we touch also keeps on increasing. Mm. To me, my inability to go and sit in Parliament mm. has not stopped me from continuing the work that we've been
service,
doing.
The service, yeah.
The family used to do it even before,
mm-hmm.
and we continue doing it even today.
Even now.
Yes.
You are board chair of Kilembe Mines, but that's not the only thing you're probably doing now. On a typical week or day, what are you really doing out of the many things?
We distribute beverages,
mm-hmm.
so I'm involved in the managing of these businesses,
mm.
Nile Breweries, Coca-Cola, Renzori, in the entire Eastern region.
Right.
We represent MTN and we run all those shops in the mm. East. And all these businesses take a lot of time. So my job as the man at the top mm-hmm. today, despite our employing professionals at all various yes. levels, I still remain the problem solver.
You have a wife and children?
Yes.
How many kids do you have now?
Biological, two. But after my brothers passed on, I took on their kids.
Right.
So we have five children
ah.
at home.
Oh, wow. So you've raised them as
yes.
yours.
Yes.
Bless. That's beautiful. Yes. And your relationship with the kids is?
I was very, very careful mm. because my first few months in Parliament after Jay's passing on was such because these kids were between 1 and 4 years of
Ooh.
Age. So you work, you're in meetings, everything. You leave in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you're leaving for work, for them, they've gone to school.
Yes.
And by the time you're coming back,
they're sleeping. Mm.
So it reached a time where they were not even recognizing me.
Wow.
So it was a rude shock. And then my mother said, you know what? You need to change things. So I made two fundamental changes.
You didn't have your own kids at that point.
I did.
Oh, okay.
I did. But they were very young also.
Mm.
I decided that at 5:30 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
come rain, come sunshine, by 6 I must be at home.
And you achieved it?
Yes. So then at 8 o'clock, after we've showered them, fed them, and they've gone to sleep,
mm-hmm.
then my meetings would start at
oh,
8.
Oh, dear.
So all my evening meetings,
mm.
so between 6 to 8, everybody knew I was not available unless it was extreme. Otherwise, normally, I was away for those 2 hours.
Wow.
Then every 15 days, we went out. We went out to Munyonyo, we went out to Entebbe, we went out to Jinja.
Spend some time together.
With the family.
Mm.
So with God's grace, at least the family gel stayed strong.
Okay. I'm wondering if at any point you've considered to say, I wouldn't mind going back in the thick of things.
Like they say, never say never.
Mm.
But for now, I think I've done my
Because you've
service.
Done a bit of time away from it.
Yes, but even in it, mm. I mean, almost 3.5 years in State House,
mm.
then 10 years in Parliament. I think I've given my country good time
mm-hmm.
of my life,
yeah.
15 years of prime life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are many other people who can contribute.
That says I'm not rushing to it.
Yes.
But I could do it.
Yeah. But there is no interest now. I think
okay.
I've been there,
okay.
seen it, done it all.
Mm.
But yeah, if the calling comes,
mm-hmm. why not?
Yeah.
People play dirty politics, call so-and-so names. And I get what you're saying. On the floor of Parliament or when we're in public, we, you know, point fingers and then behind the scenes we, you know, toast to something nice. But it was easy, especially in the time you were in Parliament and in the thick of politics, where people were really playing a dirty game. I don't know if I know that many scandals and issues about you. How do you stay out of it?
Again, it was deliberate.
Mm.
Two things. By the time I went into politics, money didn't move me.
Mm.
The scandals come because of the trapping of the money, the desire to get, you know, free money.
A deal.
Mm. I was very deliberate and stayed away from those scandals. And to me, it was all about protecting the name and the legacy of our family.
Right. As we wind up, I always ask my guests maybe to share what, on their road to success in hindsight now, what you would share with, even if it was your younger self or someone young today, if they were building their journey of life, of success, what you would tell them that you've taken from your life that they could use?
The key, I will use the word success, but to me, success is relative.
Yes.
To me, success is my ability to sleep comfortably at night. May not be a PhD, but my ability to feed my family and those that are dependent on me. So one key factor that I would advise anybody that comes to me is relationships. What benefited me was the relationships my parents created. What helped me is the relationships that I have created.
Yes.
And immediately after the relationships is how you maintain and keep those relationships. So there should be honesty. You must be transparent. There must be truth. There must be consistency in those relationships.
Yes.
So if you make a promise, stand by it.
Right.
If you give your word, stand by it. Should you fail to meet your obligations, be honest and go back and say, man,
I have failed.
I have failed to do this. This is what I can do.
Okay.
And somebody who is listening to you may feel upset about the whole thing, but will eventually understand that this guy is being honest.
Yeah.
Rather than avoiding and switching off phones and hiding.
Which is what we typically do.
And maybe the third point thereafter is, you know, there are many things that happen in life. Many things which science may not be able to explain. The Christians call it the Holy Trinity. You know, we may call him God. Supreme being, I think it's extremely important for every human being to recognize the superior being above us, the natural.
There's a force beyond
you. Can
you.
Call, yeah, exactly. And the moment you pay your respect and you fear God, then things fall in place.
Right.
They may not fall in place when you want them to, but they will.
Yeah, we are a generation of zero patience, but try.
Absolutely.
Wow, thank you for your time. It's good to know your story. I wonder what your final song will be.
This is a song that's very, very dear to me. And it's a song that was like my anthem. Still is.
Okay.
It's Different Colors, One People by Lucky Dube. It describes us as a human race.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson also has one of those. I think Lucky Dube's lyrics
brought it out.
Say it all.
Whose idea was it to put this on the campaign trail?
Mine.
Oh,
mine.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I think it helps communicate. Of course, during campaigns, you speak a lot of Luganda, Kiswahili, Japadola, Ateso, depending on who you're addressing. But being a urban constituency, I think it communicated that, you know, my skin color doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But it's about being human. It's about what we do and how we relate to each other.
Absolutely.
Yes.
The late Lucky Dube, one people, different colors, or different colors, we're still one people. And that's it for Desert Island Discs. Good night.
Across the ocean, singing this song.
Desert Island Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.